You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. It's another game, another late Scott McTominay winner for Manchester United as he delivers the 3 points against Aston Villa. Arsenal lay the hammer down on West Ham with a 6-0 win in East London and strengthen their claim to the title. Erling Haaland returns to the starting 11 for Manchester City and gets back to the scoring ways with a brace against Everton, and Liverpool overcome a sluggish first half against Burnley and bounce back to a 3-1 win at Anfield. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
OK, mate, let's start at Villa Park, the game today. Unai Emery called it a Champions League playoff game with, you know, fourth place guaranteed a Champions League spot. Possible fifth place, could get one this year, but you can't sort of rely on that. So it was an interesting game for both teams. Villa not quite been at the best with poor midweek against Chelsea. Manchester United come off a good win against West Ham, starting to feel like it's coming together. Did this play out like you thought, Rob, or were United any better or worse than you might have thought?
I think it probably played out like I thought it was going to play out. I thought the best chance would have been for a draw, and it looked like it was going to be a draw. And then, of course, Manchester United get the winning goal with Scott McTominay as well. I think given we weren't quite sure how Villa were going to go, because we both watched the game on Wednesday, and I couldn't have been more disappointed with Aston Villa against Chelsea.
It didn't look like them, did it?
It was incredible. It just didn't look like them at Villa Park. And I'm thinking, if they show up like that, they're going to lose the game. Well, they didn't show up like that. They still lost.
No. Yeah.
You know, we'll get into whether they deserve to lose or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it was Aston Villa that we've enjoyed this season, Robert. Yeah. The intensity, the football, some of the play through midfield that Man United struggled to keep hold of. And created, we have the stats after the game, and all the stats, and I know it's not about the stats, it's about the stat at the top, the goals. Yeah. But Villa created a lot. They created a lot. Another day, I think they would have scored three or four goals. Some of the chances, Andre Onana had a really good game. And you can see when that second goal went in from Scott McTominay, Unai Emery, Rob, devastated, really devastated, because I think he thought they could go on and win the game at 1-1. Yeah. They had another, Luiz had another chance, Douglas Luiz, didn't he? He didn't really get with his left foot.
Contact.
I really enjoyed the game. I thought Villa were really good. It's just a couple of moments for Manchester United. And again, Erik ten Hag's made good subs.
Yeah.
And McTominay, that's four goals of his
four
seven.
Off the bench.
Off the bench. Mm. And, you know, the result against, who was it last weekend? Against West Ham United, 3-0.
West Ham, they beat West Ham 3-0.
Really expansive, really
good football.
This was very different, and they were forced to play in a different way, which is good. When you can win games
absolutely.
In different ways, front foot or playing on the counter, which they did today, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I'm of that thinking. And listen, when criticism is right, I think we'll criticise. I think today is a little bit more about the detail and the way the game went for Manchester United. But I always remember, maybe a month or so ago, you talked about Ten Hag and said, you know, when Klopp went in at Liverpool, it was about progression, but making sure that the club's moving forward. Now, I always think it's the environment around a football club, Rob, whether it's the training ground, the dressing room, the coach going home, if you've won, it feels a lot better. Manchester United have won. So that's the first thing. It's 3 points, close the gap on Villa and Spurs, and they give themselves a chance of a Champions League spot right now as things stand. But I think the takeaway would be also, as a coach and as somebody who would read the game like Ten Hag, is that Aston Villa, you're right, had 23 shots, 10 of those on target. Now, on another day, that's a lot of shots to be conceding on target. And Onana had a good day. There were some good defensive performances. I thought Harry Maguire was in good places and defended when he had to. Darlow had a good game. But what's happening with Manchester United is they're not controlling games enough and managing the opposition. So those chances. Now, that's a better team maybe than Villa, a more informed Aston Villa. Villa scored three goals today. Now, and you lose 3-1 or 3-2. So that's a progression, but well done to Erik ten Hag for the sub. Well done for the win. Now are you going to make sure you're doing the work in the week so that they get better on the game management?
And defensive side of it. So we're talking defensive side. Mm-hmm. So their attacking play, I think we enjoy that, and they're really good. But when they... If they're forced to play on a counter, they've got to be stronger defensively. Mm. Just a couple of players, Rob, and it wasn't great. It wasn't... That, Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
A couple of defensive moments where he's coming back and making clearances and making interceptions and making blocks and fist bumping everybody else. I love to see that from the talented players. And that has been better at Manchester United. I'd like to see a little bit more of it from Marcus Rashford in particular. Yeah. But I think in general, they're trying to protect more of that back four. Lisandro Martinez being out injured is such a blow because I think he's a really good defender that would have made a difference today.
Correct.
They won the game, by the way, but they wouldn't have. I don't think the numbers of shots on target would have been the same with him involved.
Yeah.
Just going back to your progression, Rob, now the players are fit again, most of them for United. Only Mason Mount, really, you might consider and to enhance.
Martinez now, obviously.
And Lisandro Martinez, of course. It was really important that we go back to the progression argument. Yeah. And when he's got a ton of injuries... Okay, you know, he gets a little bit of a pass on that, and it hasn't been great.
Yeah.
But now, between now and the end of the season, do you think we're going to see this, Rob? Is Man United going to become more durable? Is he going to do the work on the training ground to make them look more tight?
Correct.
More tight defensively? Because counter-attacking teams have to look strong, really strong at the back.
And they didn't at times today, and they got away with it. It was bad finishing, it was bad decision-making at times, not, you know, good goalkeeping and on. I thought I'd had a game look sharp. But you're right, and that is a question, and that will be, you know, and we talked on the goal zone after the game where, you know, there's a lot of change happening at this football club and everything's being scrutinised, including the head coach's role.
Yeah.
He's in pole position. If he's development, Rob, if he's doing that work, if we start to see a progression, he's in pole position.
Yeah.
It's his shirt to lose.
Do you think that if we don't see that as good as we both want to see it, he's under that much danger? If they finish fifth, for example, right? Look at the league table now, they're sixth.
Fifth, but if we got in Champions League, I think he'd be okay. Fifth, depending how far they are, we'd be okay. What I think we need to have, Robin, and it's, I think it's like five games now unbeaten all competition, three straight Premier League wins, and sort of, you know, not bad numbers. Not bad numbers, but Man City's go 15-20 games. Liverpool go 15... Manchester United have to start to get to 10, 12 games unbeaten.
Yeah.
So we see some consistency. So on not great days, they get a draw and we come back. And on good days, we win. But not the kind of win a game, draw a game, lose a game. Mm. I don't think that is going to be enough to kind of
Job. That's what we've got to see eradicated.
Yeah.
My first top note on this game going into the game in terms of my prep notes was no more Jekyll and Hyde. They must find consistency.
Yeah.
Now, today's a win.
Mm.
So... I almost feel like that's better.
Yeah.
With the knowledge that.
Let me chuck one at you then, from like a coaching head coach point of view. A win today, and maybe today is not quite the example. But a win when lots of things haven't gone well, but you've won, or a day when you were a little unlucky, you've controlled more of the game, and you end up drawing or losing. With this group of players, is winning more important than the other things?
It's a good question. It's a good question, and I almost want to say I want to see the football. Now, I know, seems crazy.
Do you think the wins will come after?
Yeah, I do. Like, for me, it's more important to see the development on the football side.
So better control,
possession. More possession, more of what...
Unified team, if we're dropping
a little
or
bit.
Pushing. And,
I want to see a higher line, quite honestly.
Yeah.
A higher line means the team's more compact. It's going to get them on the front foot a lot better. They can control possession a little bit more and force teams back. That's hard to do at Villa Park with this current Aston Villa side. But I'd see that... And listen, it's tough to say. It's always tough to argue against results, right?
Yeah, of course.
And,
it's a bit of a balance,
to do
probably,
that. It is, but it would be important for me as a analyst of it, or if I was a Man United fan, I want to see football improving as well.
Mm.
And I think we said it at the last couple of podcasts, Rob. I think we've seen that a little bit with Garnacho, with Bruno, with Marcus Rashford, with Rasmus Højlund. I'm starting to see
good,
that looks pretty good.
Yeah, Garnacho's.
Yeah.
A real
so
talent,
I think right now, Rob, we can sit here. I think we're agreed. Better.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way the attack is. Like Maynard's continued involvement in the team.
Absolutely.
Dallow, I think Diogo Dalot, for me, deserves a mention. Mm. Not just the crossing today. There's a couple of times that we looked at each other, yeah. We made blocks and slide tackles. Well committed, done, like, well yeah, done yeah. defensively. So yeah. they're on the right path, but let's just wait over the next few weeks. Can they grow on it, build on it, and become a consistent team?
Yeah, just a little worry. Luke Shaw again picks up a niggle and yeah. thing. I'd just like to see him, you know, play a run of games because he's such a good player and so important to them, Rob.
Do you want a quick line on
Villa? Let's turn it on Villa, because obviously really poor in the FA Cup this week. And then I just thought we won't get two of those performances in Unai Emery's team. It's just as now he works. I thought they were better. I thought at times there you could see that they worked the ball, get into midfield, into McGinn, into Ramsey, they get turned. Really down good. That left-hand side, it was good. Moreno really good. Coming in, Watkins yep. down that side. I mean, better finishing, Watkins has two or three
yep.
today.
Yeah.
So, in terms of, like, the opposite side, they yeah. lost, but some of their football was really good, wasn't it? And
yeah.
whether they can... Just lost a little bit of sparkle at the top end of the pitch. If they can find that again, Rob, the football's still there and everything else is not too far away.
It's not too far away, Rob. They're fifth place, by the way. They're fifth place in the Premier League. They played a performance like today. I'm sure the fans appreciated the way they played today. Listen, nobody wants to lose at home. And I hope the manager appreciated the performance level. I'm sure he would have done. And they should be praised for how they played.
Yeah, yeah.
They stretched Man United so many times, particularly they played through United's midfield many, many times. And McGinn in there, I thought Ramsey was really, really good. Jacob Ramsey playing in that spot as well. Bailey was lively early on. It looks good.
Mm.
It looks good. So I know Villa fans will be disappointed, but all our stats, they were pretty good stats.
Yeah.
Expected goals, everything. They were kind of ahead of Manchester United. And another day, they could have scored more and maybe got the victory. But Villa is still a good story.
Still in for a Champions League.
Absolutely,
but I mean, European football, a game will be brilliant for them.
And what are they now, Rob? They're still 6 points ahead, aren't they? Have I got the right table here? They're 6 points ahead of Manchester.
Five points ahead, and Spurs are 6 points ahead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're still, that's still a few points to turn around. Yeah. So, not a bad day for Villa, but good win for Manchester United
and
Scott McTominay with the late winner. London Stadium, my friend. West Ham United beaten Arsenal twice this season in the league and then in the Cup. They didn't beat them today, mate. I mean, we were watching the game, weren't we? And 20, 25 minutes in, we're going, oh, interesting. Arsenal's shape and the positional play was really interesting. We're saying, okay, this
it's
is different.
It's different, yeah.
See how this works. And then all of a sudden, they clicked in again. Set pieces, and we'll talk about those a little bit over the course of the weekend.
Yeah.
So important to this Arsenal team. They get them the first goal, Rob, and then the moment they get the first goal, they're off. They're in another gear.
Oh.
And West Ham were not even second best, third, fourth, fifth
blown
best.
Away. No answers.
Yeah.
No answers. Which it got a little bit embarrassing towards the end. But the football that Arsenal played, I mean, my favourite game of the weekend, I know it's a stunning headline of being 6-0 London Derby.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that today, Rob, because remember the first 5 or 10 minutes?
Yeah.
We're having a little, like, flipping neck.
Where's he?
Because we expected Abbott's up front.
Correct.
We expected, the last game against Liverpool, it was Liverpool 3-1 victory, wasn't it, on Sunday, was so different.
Very different. Look, Jorginho next to Rice.
Very different.
Odegaard
in there,
and Havertz.
It was like, Liverpool
pressure,
type football.
Yeah,
high pressure. Brilliant, brilliant. And to go totally away from that today, in a different system with Trossard as a false nine,
and has Havertz
back into midfield.
Back into midfield.
And Arsenal,
Odegaard going up to start a press.
Yeah, so when they don't have the ball, Odegaard goes up,
and
it's like a 4-4-2 without the ball. And with possession, Arsenal, they're into this 4-3-3. And the first 5 or 10 minutes, Rob, because the ball changed hands a lot, we're like, where are they? So it got a little confusing. The game settled down.
Absolutely.
And I just thought it was an exhibition of really high-level modern coaching on football and angles and possession and combinations and outnumbering and false nine and Trossard coming 30 yards back to find space in midfield to get turned, to knit things together. Can you imagine if it was me or you in midfield?
But I want to stop you there. I want to stop you there before you go about you and I, because you and I, it'd be 20 years ago now playing Premier League football. It doesn't seem that. Let's talk about, you've just hit a point that I thought is really important. Was it new football versus old football? Was it new football what he was doing, and
it
you
was.
Say the overnumbering that
it
against
was.
Old football where we're set solid, this is our shape. Oh, actually, in that shape, they were getting pulled all over the place.
Yeah, it's a great, great question, and it is. It's new, tactical, cool, trendy coaching against... Now, listen, yeah, I want to finish off saying that old football, the structured, pragmatic football, that's not dead. And we've seen West Ham United do great things and win games against all the big, a lot of the big sides they've already beat this year, Rob. So it's not dead. But today, it was new, fluid and creative and, I don't know, it was bright coaching that picked apart. And by the way, before the game, with Ward-Prowse, Souček and Edson Álvarez, I'm thinking, that's kind of strong in there for West Ham.
Yeah, three.
Arsenal aren't going to find a way through the middle. They're going to have to probably go in the wider areas. I said it before the game. Wrong. Because they still picked them apart with Trossard. Made movements and made it outnumbered West Ham United and aren't going to continue and go as far as to say Leandro Trossard is my underappreciated performer this weekend. You know how I feel about
him. You love Trossard. I mean, if he gets a Valentine card off you on Tuesday...
I think he's a little diamond. And you know last season, Robbie Earl, when they were struggling for goals... And he came in the side and he made a difference. And I think I said to him, like, keep him in the side. Keep him in the team. Mikel Arteta, and I get it, went back to his big signing, his difference maker for Man City and Gabriel Jesus. I would say it again. Now, listen, this is somebody that is not on the same level as Mikel Arteta, Robbie.
Your job's not on the line and people won't criticise you.
And
if
the next game, Arteta might see it totally differently, like
he's
seen the last two games, and he might see something different. And Trossard might be on the bench. He might be back in the midfield. I just love it when Trossard plays up front, false nine, and I think he's better than what people think in general. And maybe, just maybe, a little underappreciated of Mikel Arteta in terms of how he stacks up against your Havertz and your big money guys in Jesus, that he's a little bit from Brighton, you know, we'll use you when we want you. I think he's better than that, Rob. I think he's better than that. And if you put him on a bigger pedestal and expectation level, the goal, the Saka penalty was a great example of the reason for the false nine. He comes 20 yards away from the front line, deep into midfield. And what does that do? It makes the centre-backs for West Ham United. Where's our striker? And all of a sudden, before you know it,
Saka
and Martinez make runs in behind. The ball comes over the top. Saka makes a run. It's really, really smart stuff. And everything it seemed that Arteta wanted out of the game from Arsenal tactically ended up being sweet as a nut.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with Trossard. I know you got Trossy love, but I totally get it. Brings a different dimension, disrupts the organisation. Two big centre-backs today,
everything.
Zouma and Aguerre, don't know where they are, got nobody to play against. It is interesting, and you made a point, we were talking, I think, just after the game and said, and we talked about the set pieces that we'll go to, and we talked about that, you know, Man City, and we'll get to them, have Erling Haaland. So when things ain't going well, or you need an option, you go to big man, who gets you 16 Premier League goals. Arsenal haven't got that. They're going to have to do it in different ways. They're going to have to get, you know, Saka continues to be a little goal source on one side. Martinelli's back in form and looking a bit more threatening. Your Trossards, your Havertz, your Odegaard, your Rices are going to have to pitch in.
Let me just jump in real quick. And to be fair, right, to everybody out there listening, I have said, I don't think they can win it
without a 20.
Right? That's how strongly that I certainly felt about, God, they need a real flipping top scorer. Anyway, back on Giuseppe Pieces.
But their striker, their 16-goal man is set pieces. It's Nicolas Jovert, who works on the training ground every week. Every time we watch Arsenal, there's a different set-piece routine or a variation of set-piece routines
that works,
that get them chances of goal. So somebody taking a kick, and somebody being in the right place, and a number of people who all know their roles, has created 16 goals for Arsenal. That's more than any team in the league. I mean, the Ben White dark horse. He could have been captain of the Wimbledon team, Ben White. He's got the proper dark horse of sneaking along the line, not looking like he knows what he's doing. Oh, I've just bumped into the goalkeeper. I didn't realise you were there. As Saliba comes in and heads the ball in.
And Trossard's done that before, by the way.
Trossard did it against Crystal Palace, against Joachim Andersen. Did it twice for Gabriel.
Does your set-piece coach of Arsenal say, thanks, Leandro?
They might be looking for you.
They might be looking for you.
Yeah.
Ben, come
Benjamin.
I've got a job for you.
Yeah.
And
correct.
He might rotate it around a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Everybody knows what they're doing, Rob. Everybody's can only... The Arsenal, you did a great breakdown with one of our guys in tape, where Arsenal are ahead of the West Ham back four.
They're not in
an offside position,
waiting
for the free kick to come in. They've got a brilliant, and the timing of it's excellent, where they run back to be level to get onside and then attack the ball. And you did a great breakdown of Ben Johnson a younger defender who probably is feeling uncomfortable that the Arsenal players are closer to goal. He panics, Rob. He goes back. He plays them all on. He shouldn't go back. And Gabriel gets the header.
Yeah.
Now, all that work from Arsenal is their 16-goal-a-season man. That's where it comes in different dimensions.
And that's very, very interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
If they can produce another goal scorer in set pieces, which they're doing right now, that's amazing. It's something to watch out for, and I hope everybody listening and watching is going to look out for that. Correct. Those little movements. It's working so much of the time. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's what you might expect of a professional football nowadays, that they have specialists to take advantage of every little thing advantage you can get. And set pieces is such a... It's boring, by the way. I mean, how many
to do
Fridays?
That work, I'm training,
how many Fridays? But it's obviously it's a different level now, and it's probably digital. There's probably videos or iPads about where they are, and this is what you're doing this week, and graphical kind of presentations of their set pieces. But it's working. And for that, we give credit to Mr. Nicola Jovert.
Great day for Arsenal. And
really good. Impressive. Really
West Ham United, Rob, just on the... Because I wrote a note on my West Ham, and this was before the game. I said, you know, we're back in that period where if West Ham win, you know, great David Moyes. If West Ham lose, is it time for a change? A 6-0 loss at home doesn't help the case for a West Ham, you know, more David Moyes. I think you made a point, and I'll let you make the point, where you don't feel yet it's the right time to make any kind of changes with Moyes. And just explain, as you did, why.
Yeah, so his contract's up at the end of this season. For me, this is how it would pan out for me. Yeah. I'd extend David Moyes. I'd give him a 2-year contract.
Okay.
And I'd see where this David Moyes West Ham project continues, and whether it continues going in the same path. I think there'll be a natural end to David Moyes at West Ham United. There'll be a natural acceptance that, yeah, this is kind of it now. I think it'll be widely accepted.
And you don't think that's now?
No, I don't. Okay. Because he's still done great things. He's still. I know that they've had a bad run. They're still sat eighth.
Yeah, they missed Pacatar as well.
They missed Pacatar in the last 16 of the Europa League.
Yeah.
There's still... I want to see more from David Moyes. Mm-hmm. Now, why I say that as well is that West Ham... I know what West Ham fans want, right? Yeah. And that's expansive, open, attacking football. The next manager and the next managers of West Ham United is going to be that type of person. Because the current crop of managers, coaches doing good work, or up-and-coming coaches through lower leagues or international football, is that style.
Yeah.
There isn't many David Moyes styles left to come back.
Okay.
So my point is, let's see this out to the conclusion, and that might be 6 months, could be a year, could be 18 months, because after that, you are going to get what you possibly want. No regrets that David Moyes was let go too early.
And are you in that time starting to look and think about who that guy might be? And the other thing I'd have to say is, and you're pretty confident, I'm assuming, that he ain't going to take you down. We're not going to be bottom three with David Moyes.
That's right. And if that starts, that's when the natural end comes, Rob. Right now, they're fine. Yeah. They're obviously going to be great. A European Cup last year, maybe another European. It's just too early, I don't want any regrets of West Ham fans when they get somebody else come in.
We saw this at Crystal Palace a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah, remember we saw
when,
it there.
When Hodgson came out and he went in.
So I think there'll be I think he's earned the right to continue. Let's see where it goes with a little bit of a pragmatic style. Yeah. After that, things will be because of the way the trends are going in coaching.
Good point.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Let's go to the Etihad. Manchester City faced Everton. It was an Everton team that, had good success with clean sheets, 8 clean sheets this season, mostly in the league, against a Man City team that Phil Foden was in great form, a City team that can score from anywhere. I have to say, for 70 minutes of the game, Everton's team were okay and were frustrating City a little bit. The football wasn't great, wasn't quite as fluid as we've seen, a little bit flat.
Very flat.
A little quiet at the ground, and kind of wondering, is it going to be one of those days?
Yeah, we were, and sometimes, Rob, and I think we've played... Listen, we didn't play in teams as good as Manchester City, but we played in teams before where it is flat.
Yeah,
the stadium's a little
happened,
flat. Maybe they've had some good... You know what? And it's hard to get going again. Mm. Now, of course, the story of this game is the guy up front they've got, Erling Haaland. I mean, he's still joint top scorer going into this game.
Yeah, 14 goals. He missed nearly 2 months.
Nearly 2 months.
Yeah.
So the story was what it's like to have a world-class finishing striker at your club to, was it Jim Beglin, kind of tidy up a scruffy performance with a victory. Yeah. And that's what he gives you. You just talked about it there, but the Arsenal maybe haven't got that guy. Maybe they can get that amount of goals and set pieces. But it was an Erling Haaland story for me, Rob. And the first goal with the right foot finish was clean as a whistle. The second one, he's strong. He makes it's a typical Erling Haaland run with the assist pass from De Bruyne. Good finish, strong, and that's it.
Yeah, job done.
There ain't a lot more to say to say about the performance, because they'll play better than that. Mm. And I always think when they haven't got Kevin De Bruyne and you haven't got somebody like Bernardo Silva, your little flary, technical, creative types, they sometimes can be a little lacking on that.
Was Foden wider? And we saw him play a little more central against Brentford, where he could influence the game. I just felt he was on the periphery of the game.
Yeah,
he couldn't get involved as much.
Well, Doku played on the left.
Yeah.
The game before that, which he was buzzing and was brilliant, I think against Brentford.
In the midfield,
he was on the left side coming in
field.
So
he was a little quieter.
I mean, he was a little quieter. But that's what Pep does, Rob, doesn't he? He changes it all around. We do his lineups. We got no idea, really. The back four, we're like, well, Akanji probably play right. Probably Nathan Ake's left-footer will play left-back. It's so hard to try and predict their team. Akanji was left, Ake was centre-back, and Stones played right-back. Mateus Nunes was a little quiet.
Yeah,
I like him. New signing from Wolverhampton Wanderers didn't do a ton. Mm. It was just a quieter game. Yeah. But again, the big striker's the story. Thank you very much. 2-0, job done.
And from Everton's point of view, lived to fight another day. I mean, did what you'd expect. Well set up, made it difficult at times. Couldn't quite get things going off Calvert-Lewin. Couldn't get support up. Once or twice they did nick the ball, didn't they? And had maybe better opportunities where
you picked the wrong pass, didn't make
the right thing. And in City, that's going to happen 2, 3, 4 times max in a game. You've got to make the most of one of those.
And we say about Man City being flat, but Everton defended well to start with. They're frustrated. Yeah, they're in good shape. Yeah. And what I always find fascinating is that Everton's conceded the first goal, and then second half, wasn't it?
Then they're
1-0 down, and the commentators say, this is better from Everton. This is more football. They look a lot better now. Yeah.
I'm thinking,
we know what's happening next. Yeah. Because of them coming out and
you've got to get goal.
Then the spaces are there. Kevin De Bruyne gets the ball, and the rest is history. So that's how hard it is to play against City, Rob. You come out against them a little bit to have a go, to play, then you're vulnerable if you give the ball away.
Absolutely. And you're vulnerable to Erling Haaland. He punishes your 16 Premier League goals of the season. Yep. Appetite back in City. Motoring it again, Rob, and went top of the table for a few hours before Liverpool played. And let's go at Liverpool, because it was an historic day at Anfield. That biggest crowd ever at Anfield.
75 years, was it, Rob?
Yeah,
or was it ever?
In 132-year history, it was the biggest crowd at Anfield, I read.
Wow.
Which is incredible, with the new
Anfield Road Stand getting opened up.
And opened. So, it was an Arsenal game. It was a Liverpool game that was in the balance for some time, my friend. And Burnley, I thought, gave a decent account themselves. And it was interesting because we, you know, Rebecca asked us, you know, how do we see the game in Liverpool after the defeat against Arsenal? You know, a few eyes on. Yeah. You know, there was no Alisson. He was ill, and Gomez.
Yeah.
Obviously, Konate's a red card, so Quansah came in at the back. So it was a very different back line.
Kelleher
in goal. Robertson played.
Yeah.
Trent Alexander started at right back, came off at half time. So it wasn't the perfect day for Jurgen Klopp and his team. And I thought, actually, Jurgen Klopp, I was reading last night while listening, and he said a really interesting thing where he said he enjoyed that it was a fight and a difficult game and that we came through it, because sometimes you need those games to get you back on it. And I kind of understood what he meant. Like, sometimes you can win 2 or 3 and it's pretty easy and you don't really have to game. I thought Liverpool had to be at it against this Burnley team.
I thought they had many awkward moments. Awkward moments against Burnley's side that, again, before the game, I'm thinking this should be, I mean, I guess a 3-1 scoreline.
Yeah, in the end.
In the end, looks like that. But I thought the way that Burnley would come out and play, like just what I said, like there's going to be spaces for Liverpool to go and do damage. Burnley opened up and went toe-to-toe and matched them for long, long periods of the game. One of my notes here is like, this game's kind of even.
Yeah.
Kind of even. And then what have you got for Liverpool? You've got attacking players that are game changers. And, you know, Mo Salah's getting closer. I think he's going to be in training
this
upcoming
week.
But you've still got Jota, Nunes and Luis Diaz. They all scored goals. 3 goals are from those front players.
Yeah.
There was changes that the manager made off the bench.
Yeah.
Half of Yelich come on and had an impact.
Yeah, Trent's had a knock, I believe, which they're a little concerned about. Could be a recurrence of a knee, which not great news.
Yeah, Curtis Jones popped into right back.
Yeah.
Conor Bradley, my understanding is that he'll be integrated back into training, I think, over the coming week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, sadly lost his father recently and has been given time to have with his family. So whether Conor Bradley will come in and fill in right back, possibly. But no, Endo was back, wasn't he, from international duty.
Yeah.
McAllister was in a little bit of a higher position, which, I don't know, I think you get used to playing what you were playing in the holding role, which is really, really good. He didn't quite have the influence that we might have expected, so I just wonder if Alexis McAllister is going to end up being...
As a sit.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, knits
maybe,
it together, a little
so
bit sharper.
He's just so good on the ball.
And vision. Mm. But you're right, and Burnley, Rob, got equalised for half-time with the header to the Jota goal. Actually, you know, I have to say, James Trafford again, who looks a really potentially
talented
goalkeeper, but Robbie keeps coming out for things where he's not strong enough, where he misjudges the flight of the ball and gets caught up in traffic and... You know, I remember Tim saying a couple of weeks ago, he needs to get in the gym and he needs to just start thinking about, you know, sometimes he hasn't got to come if you're not going to get there. If you come, you've got to, you know, have a physical presence that you can take a couple of knocks and give a couple of knocks when you do. But and then, Rob, second half, when Liverpool went ahead, Luis Diaz with the goal from Harvey Elliott, who had 2 assists when he came on late, actually won man of the match. Burnley had a couple of great chances. David Dato Fofana.
He
got in once in behind the back line, hit the goalkeeper, Odegaard hit over the top.
Scored.
And then
should've
the second
scored.
One, when he gets played through, is where, on loan from Chelsea, that kind of quality, you're thinking, bends it in. And all of a sudden, they're back in the game at 2-2. Could have been very different. He misses that one. And then Darwin Nunes, who'd had a day where, you know, you're thinking, oh, is it all the work and no end product? Scores a brilliant goal, by the way. It's
great
a beautiful header, ball behind him. Uses the neck muscles and really gets a good purchase on it to put it past the goalkeeper.
I'll get back to Burnley in a second. Yeah. Darwin Nunes is a player that, I don't know why, I really like him. And I really want him to do well because I love his attitude. I love his pace. I love his pressing. I love the fact that he's a great teammate who works really hard for the team. Always makes runs in behind. He's a nuisance. His finishing often lets him down, let's be honest about it. But that's a great header.
Yeah.
That's a great header. It's going to be good for his confidence. What's it? Is it 8 now? He's got 8 and 7?
Yeah, eight goals, seven assists. Yeah.
8 goals, 7 assists. Mm. Just back to Burnley, right? When I watched Burnley play at Anfield and playing expansively as the way they did, this didn't work out. They lost 3-1. But I just want to say this about Burnley. And maybe before the end of the season, I'll change my view. But my view is this right now. This is such a new team for Burnley. Coming into the Premier League, a lot of players left. They couldn't afford to sign some of the loan players they had. They've made many signings. Not huge money, but they've made many signings. They've got three extra loan players in January.
We'll play this weekend.
Dato Fofana is another example. Yeah. I like Vincent Kompany. I like the way that he talks about the game about his players, about his philosophy of the match. I like the way he's trying to coach this Burnley team. In the Premier League level, it's really hard to be expansive because if you make mistakes or your quality isn't quite there, you give the ball away, you get whatever, and you concede goals. That is what's happening. Mm. But if a club wants a new identity, wants continuity, wants a young, talented, exciting young team with a young, exciting manager, stick with the project. Yeah. Stick with everything. Yeah. If they go if it goes down, so be it.
And come up better, stronger. Come up better.
Keep the team together. Yeah. Don't have so many lone players that they have to replace all the time.
And I don't know this in any way to be disrespectful, or if that's the right word, but could your Vince and company, can you do that?
Like, what, himself?
Yeah, no, can he, yeah, can he take that stance because he's Vincent Kompany? If he was Nathan Jones or a lower league player who's got his first shot at Premier League, close, my one shot, I've got it. He'd have to be different. Does that afford him a little bit
the
of...
The gravitas of his playing career
and the way he carries himself and the way he's come up out the Championship rather than... I don't know, a player who I don't know, let's just say Rob Edwards, who's done a particularly great job. But if Rob Edwards' things weren't going well, would he have to think, you know, I've just got to stay in here or I'm going to get sacked?
I would like to think, if I'm watching this with somebody else on the sideline and he spoke well, and I like the way, I'd say the same thing.
Well, could you say the Paul Heckenbottom then at Sheffield United? Young coach, right, you know, did well to get him out.
I don't think I've seen the same enjoyment out of watching the team the under him than I'm seeing with Burnley. Yeah, it's a good point. Maybe I'm being a snob, but I want to see Vincent Kompany do well.
And I like that. And I just think, you know, I think Vincent Kompany can do that because of who he is. He's afforded that where if they go down, I don't think they'll sack him.
And he's a strong enough personality, Rob, to say, you know what, hey, it's okay.
I'm going to do
we
it.
Dust ourselves off. Correct. We'll go again. We'll try and be better. We've all learned from
that. And
you
believe him, by the way, is the other thing about him. He's very believable, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean,
he's a great, I think there's a great manager in there.
He's inexperienced. Yeah. Particularly at the top level. And
do you know what? In compared to some as well, he's learning his trade, isn't he?
He's learning his trade.
He's been down.
And he might get relegated.
Yeah.
But it's not blow it all up and let's go for some other philosophy, some other manager, some other players. Mm. It's okay sometimes. Mm. Like the money they've made, Rob, on this up and down, they should have no financial. Yeah. It's not as though they signed a bunch of, like maybe Forest have.
Yeah.
They've got young players wherever you look, players, they're all young. Thatcher Fofana's 21 years of age. They've got young players throughout the team. So and I can't imagine they're stretching their wage bill.
I know the ownership group there and people in charge, and they're patient, they're not silly, they won't make any rash decisions, and they'll back Vincent.
So you'd confirm that even if they go down and they get by 10 points, they'll see what I'm saying.
They will already have had a plan, these guys, if we go down. They'd have had a plan for if we stay up and a plan for if we go down.
And it won't be getting rid of the manager and
blowing this thing up. It'll be about progression. Yeah. And that gives them a great chance.
Yep.
Okay, my friend. Oh, just before we move on, I've done my underappreciated performer of the week. And he was a young man who played in Liverpool's defence at centre-back. And a defence that was, much changed. Mm. Goalkeeper behind them was different, Kelleher, instead of Alisson, who wasn't well. Gomez was ill. Robinson came back, was trying to find his feet. Trent was in. Next to Virgil van Dijk, who wasn't in great form, having made a miss. Gerald Quansah, my friend, is a 21, I believe,
I think he's 21.
Year old centre back.
Yep.
Born in Warrington, which is just outside Liverpool, played through all the England youth teams. Is starting to make a mark in the first team when he plays. Played a couple of times in Europe. Seen him now in the Premier League. I think he's got one Premier League goal to his name. Is a young man who might save Liverpool $70-80 million if he continues to grow and learn. And wait his time and keep improving. He looks like he's got all the things you would want, Rob, for a top-class centre-back. Good size, good pace, mobility, decent on the ball. Bit of presence about him. And he's one of those who... I don't ever see too much drama around him, Rob. Or poor decisions.
Or nervy, like you see some...
You think, he needs a bit... He looks like a 26, 27-year-old who's come in the team I think the biggest compliment you can give him is he doesn't stand out at all in the team like somebody who you're nursing to get through.
They're trying to help all the way through. Yeah. And also, Jurgen Klopp said, Rob, about a week ago, when there was so much talk about Conor Bradley and what a great job he'd done and the young players,
through the
Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott. And Klopp said, what about Kwanzaa? Why are you not talking about Kwanzaa? And I think that backs up your point that this guy's really, really talented. And talk about a academy system at Liverpool. I mean, it's a bit crazy. The fullback's coming. You know, Trent came through it. And then you've got Conor Bradley and of course, Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones and now Gerald Kwanzaa. It saves millions if you can develop those players.
Well, there used to be a thought that academies actually are producing players who end up in the Championship. It's hard to produce the quality that's good enough for a big six team for a player to go in.
Yeah.
But we've seen it in Bradley. We've seen now with Rico Lewis and Bowdens and Kwanzaa's and people who are coming into teams through academies who are now top draw.
I like the shout. Yeah. I like the shout. And people start getting excited about Joe Kwanzaa because, you know, and Klopp's very careful. You know, it'll be Canatian sometimes, maybe Kwanzaa, maybe Joe Gomez. Mm. But he'll slowly develop this guy that could be the future centre-back for many, many seasons at Liverpool. Yeah.
Good job.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, mate, well, let's move on to some of the results. We have to go to Tottenham. Watch out, New White Hart Lane Stadium. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Late winner for Brennan Johnson.
Great goal, wasn't it?
Great goal. Beautiful goal. Against the Brighton team who went 1-0 up through a penalty. Your mate, Pascal Gross, getting the penalty. Papa Sarr with a nice, smart finish, got them back into the game. And then a beautiful late move from Madison into Richarlison to Sonny back in the team. Sonny, you knew where it was going. And Brennan Johnson didn't over-celebrate. Maybe the celebration police had got in touch with him.
Just trying to be a cool kid.
He was a cool kid. Biggest moment in Spurs shirt. And a really dramatic, important late win for Ange and Tottenham.
I'm loving it, really. I enjoy that sort of coach, that sort of football. Asked afterwards, he said that, you know, often Spurs have been the team that concedes goals late.
Yeah.
But they scored the goal to win the game here. And, I mean, you know, some people might be frustrated with Ange Postecoglou and the way that he talks afterwards.
Yeah.
I've seen enough of him now, almost know what he's going to say. And I love his message. And his message is, whenever he's asked about Rob, you know, a good result, you're back on form, you've got players coming back, you're right there in the top four at the moment, how excited are you? And his response is, and will always be, listen, mate, we're just trying to get better every game. So he has his stock answer, and I actually like that answer. We're just trying to get better every game. So at no point will those players feel that we've done it, we've got there, because great result, but we're just trying to get better every day and every single game. So I kind of like that attitude from him. And the team looks good. And the players are back now. Son is back now. Madison's back now. Vendeven is back now. It's going to be a fascinating kind of chase for the top four spots.
Top five.
And it might be five for the Champions League. We'll find out. It's the whole blimmin' algorithm of which team's going to get an extra European Champions League spot. But England's got a good chance of doing it.
Good chance, based on
Teams. You know, just off the top of our heads, Rob, like we've talked the main teams, haven't we? Yeah. Spurs, Villa and Man United look like they're the ones...
Three for the top four.
Yeah.
Spurs have a chance.
Where would you put your money on?
Right now, I'd put my money on Spurs.
So would I.
Because I think there's more goals in them.
And I think
they might lose. They might lose a couple, but I think they'll win out more games.
And I think they will get better.
Yeah.
And the best the players are fit now. I mean, I still like Villa today. And Man United are on a run. They're confident right now. So it's going to be a fascinating race.
I think because they've got the points, because they've got the spot, I would probably go Tottenham just to nick that point, and probably Man United to nick it in the fifth.
Probably just ahead. I mean, they're 5 points behind Villa.
Yeah.
I know. I enjoyed Villa today.
Yeah.
They were really, really good.
Okay. Luton Town 1, Sheffield United 3. Good win for Sheffield United. Interesting, Cameron Archer back in the team up and looks so much better when he's in the team. Can't believe why he's been on the bench for a few weeks, unless he's not been 100% fit.
Yeah.
Not a great day for Rob Edwards. You know, I'm sure his Luton time at home would have won three points.
What a chance to get the 23 points.
And just get out of that bottom three. So, yeah, disappointment for them.
Yeah.
First few disappointment in a few weeks. Nottingham Forest 2, Newcastle 3. Really important win for Eddie Howe's men. 2 Bruno Guimaraes goals coming in against a Forest team that have threats, Rob, going forward. And actually, we both talked about
the
progression with Nuno. Yeah, you think a bit more positivity, a bit more belief in these players in possession?
Absolutely. They signed these players like Hudson-Odoi and Alanga. And under Steve Cooper, we saw them, but not all the time. I feel like 10 players left, by the way, Forrest. 10 players left, most of them out on loan in January. 3 came in. I think Nuno has said to the ownership, listen, come on, let's trim it a little bit. Please trim it a little bit. And I think we're seeing continuity. I think we're seeing Forest trusted with their football, their attacking football, get on the front foot, which I really, really enjoy. Obviously, the big worry with them is the potential points deduction, Rob.
Yeah.
If I'm a Forest fan...
21 points, just two above Velo.
What could they get? I mean,
three or four, five,
maybe. And that is going to be a big problem. That'll bring them, if there's 5 points, it'll bring them right down to 16. So I like the way they're going. I kind of like Nuno as a good person for this club, size of club, and what they need right now. But Newcastle United are finding their way back, Robert. I think I said after the game, it's like if there's a power meter, you know, Newcastle United, the power was right down here. And now, like, the little bars are filling up and they're almost at full power. There's players to come back, but the rest between games now is normal.
Yeah.
And they look like they're finding their way back to good form. Yeah,
absolutely. Wolverhampton Wanderers 3, Fulham 3, Bournemouth 1.
Yeah.
2 goals, Decodova Reed with the first goal, and Muniz got a couple for Fulham. Senesi got a nice finish for Bournemouth, but definitely a good day for Fulham and goals coming in. Amanda Brody has been born and learned from Chelsea and actually sitting on the bench. And apparently, the more games he plays, the less the loan fee is going to be.
Oh,
but if you're winning games, I'm sure Marcus Silva's pretty happy with
that. Do you know, sometimes we do our podcast, Rob, and we get to a club that I'm like, we haven't talked about them much.
And
I feel like we should apologise to Fulham fans because, listen, if their games are featured in our main windows,
then we get a good look at them. Yeah.
But it's another weekend where...
We didn't get to see too much
of them. Yeah, they're in windows where other teams are playing.
So we'll have to give a bigger picture. But the bigger picture is, a month or so ago, there was talk about Fulham dropping in it. They've now got 29 points.
No problem.
They've got some goals in the team. They've got Broyer sitting on the bench. They play good football. Marco Silva, you know, is much more settled and they know what they're doing. And they're going to be okay, aren't they?
They're going to be okay. And they deserve more praise for being Fulham Football Club and being comfortable.
And against the Bournemouth team, Rob, they're going well. And we've been talking a lot about Bournemouth and Iriola and the job he's done. So that's a really good win for Marco Silva and his boys.
No, it is. It is.
And last game, Wolves v Brentford, a game we didn't see too much of this one, did we? Norgaard got the first goal. Ivan Toney gets
another goal for him.
All the talk, Robin, that he's going to be leaving this one. There was talk in the press conference that
Manager Frank had mentioned it.
I mean, I think I said to you, like, on the basis that it sounds like he's going, and you would assume he's talked about Big Six and wanting to be a Big Six, he's got a new agent who's talked about that. I mean... Where's the fit Big Six? I mean, Hoyland scoring goals now, United could have been a possibility.
United, no.
Okay.
Not the right situation.
Aston Villa?
No, don't need him.
Okay. Tottenham Hotspur? With Richie scoring goals now?
Maybe not a good idea. Arsenal?
Arsenal.
So Man City, no. Liverpool, no.
Is the other Big Six team?
Chelsea right down in 11th.
Place.
I think Chelsea is the fit.
Is it
I think Chelsea's a fit for him.
Little move across West London.
Yeah.
How much are you having to pay?
Remember, if it's going to be this summer, he's in his last year of his contract. So with 1 year left,
60
million pounds.
And for me, that's a 2 year proper fit, goes in the team, gives him a threat. You can build off him, Rob, as the ball comes in. You can get service into him. He's got goals. Got nice, tidy technical feet. I think
he's
he
a Chelsea-type player for me. And we've seen Diogo Costa. We've seen Drogba. We've seen aggressive, maverick centre-forwards.
Yeah.
And
we
I think
go in there. And,
I think he's a good... Now, there hasn't been... Has there been a ton of talk about Chelsea? There's been some talk.
Yeah, not as much maybe
not
as
much
as
people, others.
As others talk, but...
Arsenal?
Arsenal is the other one that is a possibility. And you've been saying, like, have they got the guy?
He'll get goals for them. That does interest me.
Yeah, 15-plus goals for Arsenal. With that kind of service.
With Martinelli's goals, with Saka's goals, with Odegaard's goals, and with the set-piece goals.
Yeah.
That's got to be tempting. That's got to be tempting if you're Arsenal Football Club. It really has.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that this summer, mate. But listen, that's it for this week's podcast. And as Liverpool remain top of the table, despite a couple of hours at the summit from Manchester City. On a weekend when Spurs left it late, Bruno Guimaraes got a brace. Arsenal hammered the Hammers. And McTominay got it done for Manchester United. We'll be back next weekend. That's match week 25. With some interesting matchups in a Premier League where every point could be crucial come next May the 19th. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with his two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.